Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. You can find more podcasts like this by visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes feed by searching for EDUCAUSE. This podcast is sponsored by Real Networks and features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. Participants include Rita Chen, Provost and Vice Chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Bruce Mass, Chief Information Officer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. The session is entitled, Can One Institutional Calendar Used Creatively Boost Retention?
So, this afternoon, I am very, very pleased to be introducing two of the senior leaders from my new home institution. Their presentation, Can One Institutional Calendar Used Creatively Boost Retention?, demonstrates IT's strategic role in serving the campus mission. So, if you will please join me in welcoming two very special people to me, or at least I have to say that while I'm standing up here. Provost and Vice Chancellor Rita Cheng and Chief Information Officer Bruce Maz.
Thank you. We were joking. This is my first EDUCAUSE meeting, and I don't know how to Twitter, and I'm not used to your blogging. But I am very sensitive that IT is very important to all of the things that we're trying to accomplish at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Today, what we'd like to do is to introduce UWM's Access to Success program, our comprehensive retention and graduation program for our students. The profile of the campus as it relates to our calendaring service and how we are envisioning the student success and retention enabling features of that calendaring system, and then give you a glimpse into the future. UWM at a glance. We are a major research institution located in the urban center of Wisconsin. We have almost 30,000 students, 24,000 undergraduate students, 5,000 master's and doctoral students. We're building our graduate programs. As little as 3 years ago, we had 19 doctoral programs. Today we have 26, and we're building two a year for the next 6 years. Our master's programs, again, are comprehensive across the institution. We have 12 schools and colleges. We're building two additional schools on public health and fresh water over the next couple of years. So a lot of things are going on the campus. We have 3,500 faculty and staff, 125 staff members in our central IT division, and another several hundred IT support staff across the campus, as well as many student workers. Our institutional mission historically has been around access to educational outcomes for the citizens of Southeast Wisconsin in the Milwaukee area and Milwaukee County. We also are the second doctoral institution in Wisconsin, so we have the research mission as well. 4 years ago, the chancellor and I set a new administration and have worked on two goals. One is to increase our student success while maintaining our historical access for undergraduate and graduate students, and the other is to expand our research, particularly the funded research base for the institution. The key components that we are building, and we're attempting to build it from the ground up to support the initiatives, include obviously a big technology component. A little bit about Access to Success, a framework, a comprehensive blueprint that incorporates the success of all students that we bring into the institution. So our goal is to accept students from a wide background who will achieve excellence at our institution. So our enrollment management coordination is really important here, as well as all the offices that support the achievement of students. We have a rich diversity of students. We have a rich diversity of thought on the campus, as many of you do. We also have great variations in preparation for our students. So retention has been something that we're focusing on, particularly the first year retention rates going into the sophomore year. Our six-year graduation rates are low, and they're much lower for students of color. So the goals of Access to Success are to increase our first-year retention, to increase our graduation rate, and to reduce the gap between our majority students and our students of color. We have allocated over $1 million from across the campus to centralize services for students. We have coordinated the activities of all our multicultural student offices. We've created a first-year center, expanded our honors college, and relocated and expanded and properly funded an undergraduate research office. So there's a lot of things going. We have goals to increase the ethnic diversity of our freshman class, increasing the enrollment of high-achieving students through scholarship activities, and increase the graduate student enrollment and diversity from around 5,000 to 6,000 or 7,000. The technologies that support our Access to Success and the focus of our discussion today include our PeopleSoft Oracle system, and we have an early warning system that we have been able to develop off of that PeopleSoft system. Our faculty who teach the freshman classes are asked after the first 4 weeks to insert an early warning assessment for all students that they teach. And that could be everything from you're doing okay, there's no need for intervention, to you need to see your advisor or come in and talk with me, or both. The advisors get a message as well for students at risk, and there is an early intervention. Prior to that time, midterm exams were really the first time that we got some sense of how students were doing, and oftentimes that was too late. This has been an incredible software that has attached to our system and has been of high use. We also have an advising, mentoring, tracking system that we've called Cat Tracks. Our mascot is the panther, so the Cat Tracks was a name that seemed to resonate with the staff. In order to assess whether advising is making an impact, one of the baseline bits of information we needed was whether students were seeing their advisors, how often, and then also having some ability to comment on the advising success or advising intervention that was taking place. Our Desire to Learn, our D2L course management system, is something that's broadly embraced across the campus, and a lot of innovation is happening there as well. And we have adopted Zimbra for our email calendaring system, and we'll talk about that a bit more. We realize that students on the campus are learning, working, and that we have to support their leisure activities as well, and that our technology can help with retention by providing the tools necessary to assist the institution and the student in that success.
We felt this background was important, so you could see why we're doing what we're doing. And we selected a product after an RFP process. This presentation's not about the product. It's about what we're doing with it. And we have called this PantherLink, again, going with the institutional metaphor of big cats. So we've selected one calendar, and it's designed to organize all the roles. It isn't just students that have multiple roles. Faculty and staff have multiple roles as well. Our assumption going in when we began this process was that freshmen can benefit from organization. They come out of a structured environment. They come into the university with a lot of freedom. And we felt that anything that we could do with our freshmen to help them be better organized would be very valuable. Our students want their calendar information in one place. They want to go one place to find the activities that they're involved with, and it doesn't matter which of their roles this is related to, whether it's their learning role, personal role, or social role. In effect, the calendar provides synchronous communication at that instant in time when a student looks to see, where do I want to be, where do I have to be? They don't have to remember where to go for email to check. It's right there. It's right in front of them. So the premise is calendar can be basically synchronous at the time that the person wants the information. Going into this, we developed a hypothesis, and that was that one institutional calendar used effectively by students, faculty, and advisors will contribute to student success and thus increase student retention. When we wrote this proposal, we knew we'd be extremely early in our implementation. We would not have quantitative data, but today we're prepared to share some qualitative data, some examples of some of the uses that are being made. We expect to come back at some point in the future after there's greater penetration with the use of the calendar and see, do we have some quantitative measures that allow us to see whether or not our hypothesis is correct. To ensure that we got started with the right individuals, the right roles utilizing the calendar, we created a small grant program, and we call it the Technology Innovator Grant Program. The idea was to stimulate creative use of the calendar related to mostly faculty and advisors. And so what we did is we created a $500 one-year grant, very informal about the way we went about this. We announced and said, look, if you're willing to stand up in front of a bunch of people, talk about your experiences, if you're willing to dig in and be innovative with this, then we'll give you $500 you can use to support either your advising activities or things related to a faculty member's interest. And we had quite a number of responses to that. And we'll be profiling four of them today.
These are what we would term our early adopters. The one-year grants were a little incentive for, I think, folks who would have stepped up and embraced the concept without the money, but I think that the little grant, a mini-grant, does help. The first one that I'd like to profile is Professor Michael Zimmer in our School of Information Studies. He volunteered to teach a living learning community course this fall called Information Technology Ethics. And the purpose of our learning communities, and many of you may have them, is to extend learning beyond the classroom. We've been a very traditional commuter school in an urban setting historically, and we have made a big push with our retention efforts to build residence halls. In the building of those residence halls, we now have the ability to have almost all of our freshmen. We're still shy of all the freshmen being able to live on campus, but our goal is to have all the freshmen and some sophomores being able to live in campus housing. With that, we did look across the country at some very successful models for retention that bring the classroom into the living areas. And so we build our residence halls with classroom space and have incorporated a lot of conversation with the faculty around the living learning communities. Our information studies learning community course is using PantherLink Calendar to leverage communication and calendaring features to support the living learning community goals. and to help facilitate the exploration, as the course content and title suggests, the ethical issues surrounding contemporary information technology. So there's relevant lectures and film screenings that are incorporated into the calendaring. A visual here of our calendaring would be the campus events, city events, living learning community programs, social events, and course-related information are all input into the calendar so that the students will see on their personal calendars that all this information incorporated into one place. Another example, again in our School of Information Studies, which happens to be a very innovative set of faculty. This example is a little different. The course is a multimedia product development class. And this instructor is really thinking about the calendar as an anchor for the course, providing another means to view class assignments in addition to our D2L, and certainly at times when D2L is unavailable to them, it provides another anchor or backup. But it also helps to facilitate student-to-student collaboration in a very unique way. Jacques has his face-to-face online and lab date times inserted into the calendar, project deadlines, as well as group information and collaboration information. And I might point out that our Zythos Panther file system is really the link to the class assignments. So the class assignments are not embedded into emails that are sent. Rather, they're in our Zythos Panther file sharing software. He thinks of this, again, as a way of incorporating many loose pieces in a course that might traditionally be in a separate sheet of paper into one calendaring system that's available anywhere a student may go. Natalie Reinhold is a life coach in a program on campus that has just received a statewide award. This program assists low-income parents, single parents, in their effort to attain a higher education degree. Natalie uses the calendar, again, as an information and communication tool for students in the program and the general population of student parents that she reaches out to across the campus, which is a very large group at UW-Milwaukee. Students can obtain information about classwork, and advisors, instructors, directors of the program, as well as the life coach that serve the students, also have that information. Workshop information, social events, deadlines, reminders, assignments, quizzes, exams are all incorporated into the calendaring. And what's unique about this is that the arrows that are going out of this calendar system, the down arrow is to depict that the students themselves have all this information. But you see an arrow going out to the advisors, directors, instructors, and calendars, and that the student assignments, quizzes, and information about their stress points in the semester go to their coaches. And so there really is a very circular and embedded set of information here that balances the social activities, the support group activities, with the course stresses and hopefully celebration dates. We have one more mini grant that was given out, and I let Bruce give you the detail on that one.
It was nice to be able to include this one in because I attended the training sessions for the use of of PantherLink when it went live. I believe in modeling the behavior I expect from some of my own staff. So my when we went through training, I got paired up with Jen Murray. And Jen had let me know about how interested she was in the calendar. So we forged a connection based on that training session. And she wants to be able to communicate comprehensive event information to the community she serves. So she wants to be able to communicate center, campus, community, organization, and national event information, pull it all together, and then spin out calendar information onto web page, e-newsletter, listserv, and Facebook. So not just being limited to using our institutional calendar, but moving out to other methods that the students use to stay connected. The graphic for that shows the Jen feeding in into her. She creates a PantherLink calendar and feeds in Resource Center campus events, community national events, links to speaker websites. All of that gets fed into the calendar. And then this shows the output going to their e-newsletter, website, Facebook, and it's consumed at the lower level. That shows that students then can subscribe to the calendar, and then they consume the information that's provided. And while we haven't shown you, this is not a demo of Zimbra, basically students have multiple calendars then that overlay on each other, and they can just bring them in and out, turn them on or off however they choose to, and all the information they need is updated by a person who is the owner of that information, and right at the point in time they look at it, it's as up-to-date as the owner of the information makes it. That gives you a picture of what the calendar looks like, and that's what students would see as it gets printed out onto the website. We just finalized the other day making sure that we got this to work perfectly for them, and so they're now having this go out to their website. We thought we'd give you a glimpse to see what it looks like. This system also is very, we view it as the hub, frankly, of our activity, that communications we see it really as the hub for all activity, and so we're going to be expanding in January, February, March timeframe. We're going to be rolling out instant messaging as part of it. It's integrated in the product. We're talking with Zimbra right now, along with Stanford, Georgia Tech, Guelph. A number of institutions have gone with Zimbra, and we're talking with them about having a private social network that they'll be leveraging their Yahoo connection with. And so we're going to be working on that. Our advisors have asked for that for a long time. They're a little leery of using Facebook and MySpace for everything and would like to have a private social network for the university. We're working with Zimbra on this right now. And then we're developing something called Calendar Subscription Center. The Calendar Subscription Center basically presents on the web and through what is called a Zimlet. It's a little application on your calendar. Gives you the ability to be able to see all the calendars that can be consumed on the campus, all organized by category. So when freshmen are starting right away at the university, they can look through and say, am I interested in athletics? Am I interested in student life activities, intramurals, student government? We'll have it all organized and make it easy for them to subscribe to any calendars that they're interested in. This diagram really shows you PantherLink at the hub of our activity. On the left side, we show the technology innovator grants having a big focus in really getting this started virally. Our intent was to get started and find some innovators who will start talking and spreading the word about the benefits. Our CatTrack system scheduling is integrated or will be in the spring with PantherLink. Our Zytho system, we just demoed at the Zytho booth the integration with Zytho, where instead of having to send attachments, now our campus community simply can attach to a Zytho document. So that means it gives them complete free flexibility to not have to have documents on their desktop or bring them along with them. The instant messaging that I mentioned, the social, PantherLink social, we already integrated this with our campus development calendar. It works flawlessly with iCal feeds, so we're already allowing for the ability to consume and bring in Google, Yahoo, any other iCal feeds. For the web content management system, we are working on a campus calendar that will allow individuals to look at the campus calendar, click on an event, have that automatically be populated onto their individual calendar. So it's another layer of integration that we think is very important. And then finally, PAWS is our PeopleSoft student system. We have already implemented integration between PeopleSoft and the system where the course schedule now for students is automatically populated onto their calendars. That has been a huge hit. We had a meeting with some of the Zimbra schools last night. I see Bo is in the audience. And we talked about we're going to be sharing information about the code that we used for that with our partners who have PeopleSoft because we our students have really appreciated that. Next up is we're going to be working on advisors wanting their contact lists coming in or their advisees coming in as well. What we're planning on now is once we get started, we really need to have greater faculty awareness and engagement. That will take time. As all of you know, this is a new concept. We have multiple, I would say, exchange environments on our campus and group-wise environments. Some of them have been migrated now. Some of them we've had a little trouble with because they've used older technology. Unfortunately, our student affairs area had an earlier version of Exchange, and we have not yet migrated them over to Zimbra. So we're anticipating as soon as we do that we're going to get much greater use by the staff who support student life activities. And I would say that we feel the early returns are very encouraging based on what we're seeing. Our community likes this. The adoption is increasing, and we have been developing new applications, and with our group that we formed with higher ed partners who are using Zimbra, we're going to continue to share innovations that get developed at each of the campuses so we can all consider them. I want to throw that in because the funny dressed guy on the right is our Zimlet czar. He writes our Zimlets, a very creative individual. That's Quinn Madsen, and he's there with his good friend, the Panther. And with that, we decided to leave a fair amount of time for questions, and we're ready to answer your questions now. Yes, it requires an action. And one of the reasons for that is because we feel that choice is a really important part in this process, and so that aspect is course schedules will automatically be pre-populated, but everything else is really going to be left up to choice on the part of the individual. Yes.
And the other reason for that is that part of that choice is also a connection of people with the institution, and our work on retention suggests that we need to do this one student at a time and one experience at a time. And pre-populating suggests that it's a non-thoughtful action. And the choice on both ends, I think, is really important.
Yeah, I would add that the course calendars can be turned off. So a student can hit a checkbox, and then it's not visible. So it's not like it's always going to be showing there. Any individual can create a calendar, any other individuals, and they can make it available so any other individuals could subscribe to it. So as long as one person takes an initiative to create something, it could be used for group processes. Yes, or any other information that they want. We still have to work that out, though, to make sure that the faculty buy in to that level, and we still have some talking to do with them yet. Did I answer your question, or do you have a follow-up? Okay. Yes.
What's the workflow process for entering calendar events or different
Well, each area can decide on the campus who is responsible for updating a particular calendar.
You might want to take the LGBT example.
Okay. Go back. So, in effect, that decision is left up. Say, our director of financial aid is going to be using this for financial aid recipients. They're going to be creating calendars for every type of financial aid, and so Perkins loans, deadline dates and so on are different than they are for other forms of financial aid. She's going to have staff members delegated the authority to be able to update them. People are already doing it based on paper anyway. Those get published, and then notices would end up going out to the students who are Perkins eligible, and then they would have the choice to subscribe to the calendar so they can see all the dates that are coming up. We intend to do this across the campus, giving that choice, because we're really not doing anything any differently here with calendars other than having them be more automated and having them be more generally available. This has always been going on in these offices where someone has always been responsible for the calendar. Yes. We haven't gone there, and the reason is we have Ad Astra, and we haven't yet determined, we have Ad Astra for classroom spaces, and we have another scheduling package used for some of our auxiliary spaces, and we haven't really tackled that yet, so ask me a year from now.
Good question.
Well, that's precisely what we're going to do with our subscription center, is we're going to, based on the system that the community, that the campus wants to put in place, we're going to do groupings. And we're working. We have our School of the Arts staff who are involved. We've got about 35 people on our campus calendaring team. And so they all have input into this, into the shape it's going to take. And we're going to try to create a way that things can be organized easily that meets the needs for those particular units. But in addition to that, the institutional calendar, which is very prominent on our homepage, off of our homepage, that will create one-click capability for someone to subscribe then to campus-wide events. So films, anything going on in our union or in our School of the Arts, people will be able to look, say, hey, I like that, I want it on my calendar, click on it, boom, it's pre-populated onto their calendar then.
The advantage of that is that my calendar is full all day, every day. So I don't put athletic events or film events on my business calendar, because otherwise everything would be overlapped and I wouldn't know where I was at any time, which is the case some of the times anyway. But with the Panther link, I can click on the film events or the musical events or the theater events or the athletic events at my convenience to see what is happening on that particular day or week or month, and then sort out my business schedule so that I can attend some of those.
Yes, in the back. Our advisors have indicated that they would like a way to help build a sense of community among their advisees. And there are some things that they believe, two things. The students don't want them on Facebook, in MySpace. You know this. And the phrase I've heard is creepy tree houses. They want to create a sense of community. And so it is among advisees. It helps then anyone who's in the network to get to know each other. It kind of creates a smaller, customized social network based on their school interests. And so the hypothesis here is that that will help shrink our campus from, we have 29,000 students. It's hard to connect with everyone. Some of our advisors have incredible loads. many as like 1,500 students, some of our advisors, and this is a way to shrink that up a little bit. And we just think that having something that is limited to the we have it through LDAP, so LDAP access on our campus means it's only the community that belongs there for some of those conversations. Students always have the ability to go out publicly to Facebook and MySpace for anything else, but this allows for more school-related professional kinds of interactions and teams. Yes. So this first time through, we tried to get as many people as we could. So the criteria was, if you have a pulse, and if you're interested in engaging, and our campus is small enough that I basically know everyone on the campus. I know who's going to do the work and who isn't. We basically, in the first round, said yes. The idea was, you know, that people aren't going to do it for the money. It was basically to say your time is worth something. We're always asking you for things. This time we want a little more from you. We want you to show up in public settings. We want you to talk to others. We want you to be leaders. And we felt it was important to signal that by giving them a small grant. A lot of these areas are have funding that is very, very tight. And so this really does matter to a number of these individuals. In the future, again, it'll be a good problem if we get too many applicants. Then the criteria will be, we'll be looking for a range of diversity so that we can continue to look for innovative practices in different areas. That way, we just want to build up the knowledge that this tool, which I submit, calendaring has been really underappreciated and undervalued as a strategic tool to be able to build community. We believe that if we keep getting some of the early adopters out using it and talking about it across all our communities, that it'll be, it'll take off faster. So, yeah, question in the back. Well, that's a completely different conversation. Yeah, I think I know why you're asking that. It's a custom system that we had built. We had built a cold fusion system, and we really have good participation in that, frankly, is that people on the campus have been submitting to it. It's been a little cumbersome because it was developed a number of years ago, and what we're really trying to do is make it easier. So basically by linking over to Zimbra, there's no change in behavior that's expected here on this. We're just simply making it easier. And from their viewpoint, they're thrilled about this because the fact is their calendars will be out on the subscription center. They'll be listed. There'll be more prominence. There'll be greater ability for people to know what they're doing. So I'm not envisioning any kind of a challenge on that end. We work really closely. That's owned by our university relations department. And then we work with them as a partner, but they've handled all of the engagement with that and have done a great job so that our community does contribute to that. And we have very little competition for using other systems.
The one thing that I would add is that as calendaring information and the feed becomes easier to do, university relations people do know that there'll be more and more competition for what goes on the official events calendar for the institution, because information will be so much easier to be incorporated. So potentially, you know, lots and lots of things could float up as being really important, and the Zimbra product will help us sort out that people can subscribe to different things, and maybe that doesn't hit the level of the university event calendar.
Well, community members can. They can use Google or anything else, and they can be consumed. anything that's out there. I mean, one of the examples our staff use when they go around is pulling up the Milwaukee Brewers schedule or Milwaukee Bucks schedule or, you know, other, you know, feeds that come in, and that's already available. We also can, make our calendars publicly accessible as well. So that's a facet of this system that we think is important. As you might imagine, our alumni area sees a lot of potential and possibility with this. Back, yes. Yeah, we've got that question a lot, and we get it from our people who build their calendars. And right now, we don't have a good way of doing that. We're just going to have to figure that out. I think technically that's doable. We just haven't been able to figure it out. The question comes up oftentimes when I send out notices to my students. How do I know who's going to be subscribing to it and who isn't? And right now, we don't have a way of doing that. But that's really no different. Anyone here who works in technology knows that's the answer a lot of the time. You just sit down, you work on it, and you figure out how to do that. We'll probably be sitting down with Zimbra and talking about it. I don't know. Bo, do you know a way? Yeah. So that's a great question. It's definitely something that we want to do because we see that as a gap. Perhaps that's going to be one of the items that we put on the enhancement list for Zimbra. Yeah, we don't really need to cross-list. This is designed so that you create one calendar, and then it just gets referenced many times and brought in. So the whole concept here is to be able to create a series of discrete calendars for discrete purposes, and that eliminates a lot of this ambiguity or confusion in doing that. You know, it's part of the architecture of this product that allows that to happen, which was attractive to us.
I just might mention that all of our Access to Success initiatives are very data-driven, and many of them started as small pilots, and we monitor the success, and then through a lot of conversation on the campus, we expand to incorporate more students and more faculty and staff participation, and this is the model we're using for the calendaring system as well.
Just one thing I'd add is you can imagine how important this could be for activities related to student government. Ability to be able to publish calendars as soon as we get them converted off of Exchange, then we're going to be able to start working with them very closely on getting their information out. Same thing with our secretary of the university, where a lot of university calendar dates are included. All of that can go out, calendars for all of the different governance groups can be managed and can be consumed by the faculty or the staff or the students who are involved with those governance groups. That has to happen over time as our staff become comfortable with using the product. And what we're really trying to do is not push people too hard, too fast, letting them get comfortable with it, letting them master it, and then letting them decide in the future that this is a it'll actually save them a lot of time, but they're going to have to come to that themselves.
Thank you all.
We appreciate you coming here.
This EDUCAUSE 2008 Annual Conference podcast is sponsored by Real Networks. Real Networks enables digital delivery of distance learning coursework, athletic events, and more to students anywhere. Information at realnetworks.com.